everybody that I know that's alive has a past, right? Even if they're one day old, they got a 9-month past, right? We all have our past, and we all have things that maybe sometimes we hold on to, and sometimes it's things that other people have done. Sometimes it's things that we've done. Sometimes it's just circumstances that we've been in. But I have always identified myself with who I was. And I've done that. I've like looked at my past and said, well, I've done this, or I've been here, or instead of like looking and saying, who am I and what am I gonna be? And it's really interesting that if we realize that our past doesn't define us, then we can finally accept that like today really is a new beginning. Tomorrow is a new beginning. The next day is a new beginning. That we have something to look forward to. But I really do think that if we can get stuck in the past, if we can hold on to the old things, then that can stop us from maybe having goals and hopes for the future. And it's really interesting how the Bible talks to us about our future. And in Psalms, there's this beautiful passage, and it's talking about, you know, God being with us. If you go to Psalms 37, and some of you might have heard this, but I'd like just to like point out a few parts of this here. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. Let me find it here. Says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So I like to like think about that for a minute. All right, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, okay, I can't assume you all know that, because I don't know if you've ever heard about Jesus and God and how much he loves you. But basically, when God created Adam and Eve, he created humans to be in relationship with him. And we all know the story, right? Eve ate the apple. We always blame on the woman. I'll take it. Eve ate the apple. Adam saw what was going on. He ate the apple, right? Or the fruit, the forbidden fruit. And they sinned, and then they got cast out, and all this stuff happened, right? But if you actually read in Genesis, what you find is that they ate of the fruit. They realized then they had, you know, sinned, they'd done something wrong. They realized they were naked. And what does the Bible says? It says, they were naked and they were afraid and they were ashamed and they went and they hid themselves. And that evening, God came up and showed up just like he did all the other nights to talk to Adam, to converse with them, to be with them, even though he knew what they did. God still showed up to be with them. But Adam and Eve were not there. And he even said, Adam, where are you? What's going on? Why aren't you meeting with me? And they said, I was afraid. I was ashamed. This is what we did today. And what's interesting and what I'd like to point out is God still showed up for them. They were the ones that let sin separate them from God. And because of that, God realized and said, all right, because you've done this, and he talked to them all the different things. But he also pointed out, and that was the first time he said, I'm going to send somebody to overcome this, to fix this. And throughout the rest of the Old Testament, we hear about how a Messiah is going to come. A Messiah is going to come. A Messiah is going to come. Well, Jesus came on the scene, and he fulfilled all those prophecies for us. Jesus came, and we often think that, you know, going to church and going to God is for perfect people, and like, you know, people are just being hypocrites. And or I've heard people say, if I go into a church, the roof's going to cave in, Mary. You don't know what I've done. Heard that so much because we get so hooked up on our past. But when Jesus was talking and said that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, he didn't stop there. If you read John 3:17, he said, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus said time and time again, I have come to give you life and life to the full. The enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy, make you miserable while you're here on earth. But I'm here to give you that second chance. I'm here to forgive you. I am here so that you can pray directly to the Father through me in the name of Jesus. So Jesus came for us to be able to have that relationship with God the Father like Adam and Eve used to have every evening. They would have that relationship time with God. And he wants that for us today. So if we realize that, if we believe that Jesus Christ loves us, that he came not only to save us so that we can go to heaven when we die, but for us to have life and life to the full today, then we can claim some of these verses here. We can take this word that has been given to us and read it and apply it to our lives. Let it renew our minds daily. It can become our food. Jesus says, man can't live on bread alone, but out of every word out of the mouth of God, right? And we want to go and we want to eat when the cafeteria is open. Like, I'd be with you, man. I'm like, well, I want to eat, right? My body needs food. If I don't eat food, I get hungry and I get cranky and I just get tired and I can't function, right? But yet we don't eat God's food. We don't take God's word and apply it to our lives daily. And then we wonder why we get angry, why we get bitter, and why our spirit man is hungry and freaking out. Just think about how like our bodies freak out after like a day. After like, well, a meal for me, you know. You miss lunch and you feel it. We need to apply God's word to us. But when we do apply God's word to us, these are some of the truths that we hear. I love this. It says, the Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. I'd like to stop there for a minute. He says, he makes firm the steps. Do you guys get that? Like, our life is a series of steps. When we make steps, we end up in a different place than where we started. When I start taking steps, I'm moving away from my past. I'm not standing still and God's just making firm where I'm planted. No, it says he makes firm your steps. So don't tell me about how bad your past is. Where are you going now? Where are you stepping to? God wants to make firm those steps. He doesn't want to make firm what you did back then. He wants you to have something to go towards. And I love the next verse. It says, though he may stumble. I've stumbled a few times along the way on my path. I don't know about you. We could like compare stories, I'm sure. But guess what? He says, he will not fall. The Lord upholds him with his hand. There have been times when I'm stumbling, it feels like I'm done. I have fallen, and I won't be able to get back up again. But God. And before you know it, I'm back on my feet, the stumbling is behind me, and my steps are made firm again with the Lord. And I gotta keep on going. And what we have to realize is that once we've accepted Jesus Christ, once we've made that decision to let his steps guide us, and we're gonna be firm in that, we've got something to look forward to. We don't have to keep holding on to the past. But we have to accept it, we have to apply it. A lot of people are totally satisfied with, well, it says, all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've called upon the name of the Lord, I'm saved, Mary. Going to heaven, but right now, you know, I can do it on my own. Guess what? You can say that and you can do that. God is a gentleman and he will let you. But you don't have to. You were never meant to do it all on your own. Adam and Eve were created to have a relationship with God every single night. You were created in God's image. And he wants to be with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to love us. When you're in a relationship with somebody, you not only talk to them, but you let them talk to you. How does God talk to us? Through his word. Through other people. Amen. Through the Holy Spirit, like putting that, oh, I don't feel good about this. Maybe that's the Lord trying to tell you, bad idea, right? But are we listening? If someone mails you a letter, most of us are going to read it, or we're going to find somebody to help us read it, or we're going to figure it out, right? Even if it was written, I mean, I've got family in Germany, you know, and they send letters sometimes in German. I go find somebody that can read German and read it to me. I don't just put it on the shelf and say, well, they're okay, they must be alive. But yet, God's given us his word. And I know sometimes we say, well, it doesn't make sense, I don't understand it. We get really bogged down, like, in the beginning with the Old Testament, all the history. Why not start in the middle where Jesus comes on the scene? If you believe he is Messiah, if you've already gotten that point, then read about him. You'd be surprised by the people he would stop and talk to, by the people he loved on, by the situations they went into. We don't realize that every single person in here has that past, has some really interesting stories. has some things they wouldn't be too proud to share up in heaven with all of us when we get up there. We have the word, we can read it. Why do we record their mistakes? So we can say, oh yeah, I've been there, done that. And if God loved them despite of their mistakes, and God forgave them, and God was able to use them, and they were able to move past that, so can I. It's really cool. In Philippians, this guy by the name of Paul is writing a letter. And Paul was a really interesting character. He thought he was all that in bag of chips. He must have been raised, you know, in a really hoity-toity family to the point where he didn't have to go and make a living for himself. He had, you know, probably family money or whatever. He was able just to go and study down at the temple, and he became like a religious scholar. He devoted his life to the Jewish way of thinking. And he honestly thought he was doing God's will when he was persecuting Christians, because he didn't see the big picture of all the ways that Jesus had fulfilled the prophecies. But his heart was to really truly serve God. And God saw that. And so in the midst of Saul, his name was at that time, later he called himself Paul because he didn't even want to be associated with that past, and God said, I'm going to give you a new name. Saul is literally pulling Christians out of their homes, dragging them into court, getting people to say, yep, we can go ahead and kill them. I mean, we see this happening to Christians right now in the Middle East. Okay, so he's like writing this letter, and he's saying, man, I was the worst of the worst. You all think that your past is bad? I was like killing God's people. I was like organizing this. People were afraid of me. I was like a big time bad guy. Even though my Jewish law is telling me thou shalt not kill, right? One of the Ten Commandments. He seemed to think he was justified in that. And he had an encounter with Jesus. Think about that. People want to like deny all this stuff happened. Why would a Jewish man who wants to kill Christians admit to being stopped in the middle of his tracks and having this encounter with the man he says didn't really even tell the truth? Because it was real, because it really happened, because God stopped him in his tracks and he allowed this man to have an encounter with Jesus. And he came out of it and he went study. This man knew the Old Testament. That was his scriptures. That's what he had been studying since he was 12 years old. He was adamant about knowing what the Messiah would look like and be like and do and come from, because he was waiting for that Messiah to come. And when he had this encounter with Jesus, he took the time to actually do some real study. It says, after I had that encounter, I went up in this one area and I studied for a couple years. And he came away with the conclusion that Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah that God promised us. And he became a Christian. He became a leader. And he became one that would go out into all these different towns and cities and countries and share with them the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But as he's talking to them, as he's sending this letter to the Philippians and telling them, you know, oh, man, I had this horrible past. I had some really, really bad things, like things I'm ashamed of, things that would like keep me, right, from standing up in front of a bunch of Christians saying, listen to me, even though like, you know, 5 years ago, y'all like were scared of me. You can listen to me now. And this is what he says in Philippians 3:13. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not yet consider myself yet to have taken hold of the perfection that we're all like attaining to be, more like Christ. He says, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. What did we just hear in Psalms? Our steps going ahead? Even though I stumble, even though I might fall, right? I'm going to keep going forward because God is going to be with me. And what is Paul saying? I can't go back and bring those people back that I had killed. I can't go back and fix everything I did. So I've got to forget about my past. And I've got to say, what am I going to do? How many more people am I going to bring to the saving grace of Christ? What more can I do with my life? He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what about us? Like, we want to say like, oh, but you don't understand. I mean, I've had people tell me this, but Mary, you don't understand. You have no idea. You don't know what my mama was like. You don't know what my dad was like. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what my ex did. I could tell you about my ex, and I could tell you about my mama, and I could tell you, I mean, I know we got little ones in the room, but let's just say that the thing that happened between my mom and dad, she didn't want. And I've had people say, oh, you shouldn't even be born. You shouldn't even be alive. She shouldn't have had to have you. But guess what? Here I am. I can't find my identity in what happened during my conception. I have to find my identity in Christ. Amen. I can't say that I made in that man's image who forced himself on my birth mother. I have to say I find my identity in my Father God. I made in his image. Mm-hmm. And I'm a child of the Most Holy God. Amen. I'm a daughter of the King. Mm-hmm. Right, because I can't look to the past and find my identity in that. I have to find my identity in who I am today and who God wants me to be tomorrow. And I'm not saying it's easy, especially when you're in the midst of a bad situation, especially when you're right in the middle of something going on, you're like, but man, you know, I did this or I did that. But you can find peace in God's word. You can find renewal in God's word. We hear about I don't know, maybe you haven't, but there's this parable that Jesus was talking about, and he was saying that the kingdom of heaven is like these two guys, and one guy is building his house, and he builds it on the sand. This other guy, he digs down. I love how the foundation is underneath both houses, but one didn't take the time to push the sand away. He said the other guy digs down until he finds firm rock, and he builds his house on the firm rock. Which, if you read the parable, Jesus says, the firm rock is those who do and hear my words. Amen. This. One built his house on God's word, which represented his life. And what did he say happened? He said, the storms came and beat upon both houses. You can build your life on God's word and still have storms come. Yes. Oh, yeah. Because we live in a fallen world. Some of us are in the middle of a storm. Some of us didn't take the time to dig down and get our house on the rock. And we're feeling stuff falling apart. But I'm telling you, you can't keep looking past what you did or didn't do. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can say, enough is enough. I'm going to start sweeping away the sand, and I'm going to get down to God's word. Because I'll tell you what, I don't care what you have. Somebody can take it away from you. But God's word, buried deep down in your heart, nobody can steal that away. It doesn't cost you anything. I've got free Bibles right there. People have donated them. People will help you read. People will help you understand. People will explain. People are coming here, what, twice a week? We have chapel Monday through Friday. We've got at least 10 different people every week willing to stay after with you and pray with you and to talk to you. We can put God's word in our heart, and nobody can take that away from us. Amen. Nobody can tell you you can't pray. Nobody can tell you you can't read his word. We can build a new house. We can build a new foundation. We can dig down and get back down to the basics down there and say that God loves me. And yeah, I'm not perfect. The Bible tells us we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I am not perfect by any means. But I am forgiven, I am loved, and I'm going to live life to the full. I'm going to stop looking behind me, and I'm going to start looking forward. Amen. We can all do that. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life. That's so cliche, but it's so true. In Isaiah 43, there's another nice passage about this. I can find Isaiah here. I love this. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, God's word to all of us has been consistent. He wants us to know this. Isaiah is in the Old Testament, and Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That's like powerful, because when I lay in bed at night, all I want to think about is my former things, what I did and didn't do in the past. Yeah. If I would have done this, this is what would have happened. If I would have done this, this is what, if so-and-so would have come through, like they said they were going to come through, I wouldn't be in this situation. If this, don't dwell on the former things. Learn your lesson. Sometimes we do, right? We have to learn our lesson. But at a certain point, we got to stop dwelling on it. We got to stop. Sometimes we use it as an excuse. Sometimes it's a reason for our anger. Sometimes it's a source of our frustration. Certain point, we got to let it go and start looking to something new. Verse 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" God wants to do something new in your life. And I don't know what it is. I don't know your situation. We all have different things going on. Maybe it's something as simple as making sure you have a Bible before you leave this place and reading it every day. Maybe it's something as simple as the book of Mark. Mark was this one of the disciples that recorded what happened with Jesus. And Mark is really cool because it's only 16 chapters. Each chapter is about one page. If you just read one page once a day for the next 16 days, you would see a side of Jesus that you've probably never seen before if you've not read the Gospels. And it will change your life if you want it to, if you want to do something new, if you want to allow God's word to come in and renew your mind, if you want to pray and say, "Lord, show me. I've tried reading the Bible in the past and I didn't understand it. But your word says to stop thinking about the past and to see something new in my life. Be with me. Help me. Help me understand it. Show me your love in all of this." The book of John. John was a disciple. And he wrote down some things. And I tell you what, when you read that, you really get a good grip that God loves you. God loves you no matter what. I love John chapter 4. There's a woman at the well. She had been married 5 times and was living with a guy. She was a Samaritan. She wasn't even a true Jewish person. She was of mixed race, and other people didn't like her, and other people, the Jewish people, wouldn't even stop and talk to her. But Jesus did. Jesus says, "I want to give you living water. I am the Messiah. And you know, I'm going to validate your testimony and go renew your relationship with the townspeople. And I'm going to stay in this town for 2 days. You read John chapter 4 and you're just like, "Wow, really? That's not what I thought." Devil wants us to think that God is only looking for perfect people. God wants you just the way you are to know how much he loves you. Amen. He loves us so much. 2 Corinthians, I'm going to end with. Chapter 5. Verse 17. This is really good. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," are any of you in Christ? I'm in Christ. "Therefore, if any of you are in Christ," you know what it says? It says, "The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here." And I love this. It says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." You don't have to live with the guilt and the shame and the frustration and the anger of all the things that have happened in the past. God wants you to become new. God offers that daily to us. I know last week I spoke about prayer, and for any of you that were here, you remember me talking about, you know, when you pray, you can use that acronym I said, CATI, C-A-T-I. And what was the first thing I said you could do? Confess. Confess. As soon as you start praying to God, confess. Whatever's been bothering you, whatever's happened, confess it and be done with it. Because he says he is faithful and just to forgive all those who confess, right? So we confess, and we're done. Don't let it put a wedge between you and God. Be done with it. Then you can ask, then you can thank, and then you can intercede and pray for others. But when you have time to pray, confess and be done with it. Don't dwell on it. Learn from it, right? Because the pain and the shame that we felt when we went through it the first time, we don't want to go through it again. Even if Jesus is going to forgive us again and again, we know that his forgiveness is vast. But we don't have to keep repeating those things because it just brings us pain while we're here on earth. He wants us to live life and life to the full. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy. So if you're a Christian and you're not walking in peace and you're not walking in joy and you're not living life to the full, maybe it's time that you renewed your mind with God's word and you declare that today is a new day and that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus and that something has got to change. Just like that we always, you know, try to get our kids in these habits when they're little, right? Say your prayers before you go to bed, brush your teeth, right? Put your shoes on before you go out. We get into habits of doing lots of different things. We all got up and went and had breakfast, most of us, right? We have lunch, we have dinner. We get into lots of different habits. Why don't we do that with God's word? We get distracted by many things, but God wants us to have blessings. And we can understand his love and his joy when we get into God's word and let it speak to our hearts. I'm going to pray over all of you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And I'll be here next week. So, Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for new beginnings. I thank you, Father God, that you sent Jesus not only to die on the cross for our sins and for us to be able to spend eternity with you in heaven, but for us to be able to live life and live life to the full today. You promise us the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which is joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and self-control. But Father God, some of us don't have that right now. We're frustrated. We're angry. We get impatient. We don't understand why all these things have to happen. Father God, I know you want good things for us. And I know that as we get into your word and we let your word change us from the inside out, that we'll be able to understand your love for us. And we'll be able to let go of former things, of the past things, and we'll be able to keep walking, even though we might stumble, towards the goal that you've set before us. Be with us and help us and open up doors and open up our eyes and just, Father God, please be with us. Show us when we can get into your word. Help us, Father God. I just ask you to bring healing upon these people in whatever situation they may be in. I just ask you to be with them. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. You guys have a good night.